Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Addo. Can you hear me? I bet you can. As usual, Zigzag was immediately kicked off once the show went live. Not sure what that's about. Blog Talk Radio. Need to look into that business. Check it out. Give it some development time. Put it in the queue and the workflow, please. Why does the host get kicked off as soon as the show goes live? It makes no sense. I assume he'll be calling back in any moment, at which point we can continue the shoe. In the meantime, I'll just rap, riff. Don't want to have anything to riff about. Cut down a tree today in the front yard. Well, I paid somebody to do it because the tree was gigantic. It was like 40 feet tall and bigger around than most Walmart shoppers. It's huge. It's gigantic. And so I paid it.
Never fails.
Why does it never fail?
It's fucking ridiculous, Rufus, is it not?
It absolutely is ridiculous. It is. It is not ridiculous.
It's obviously I am doing something wrong with the way I'm calling in, I guess. Maybe that's it.
But how? I mean, what could you be doing wrong? I can't fathom what you could be doing wrong.
Me neither, honestly. How do you call in a place wrong, I guess, would be my question to you.
How do you call in a place and be there successfully for 10 or 15 minutes and then just suddenly get kicked off when the show goes live? That makes no sense. There's a technical issue.
I have no idea. I don't get it. Anyways, glad to be aboard, finally. Now that I can't see you, though, because of the way I'm called in, which is always super fucking annoying. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know. Maybe you should call me. Maybe we should do that from the future.
Maybe so. Are you called into the show using Skype or your phone?
Skype. I'm called in using Skype.
Let me hang up on Skype. See if you can call me back in using Skype. See what happens. So I just hung up with the show. So I'm free.
All right,
clear
here
on
we
Skype.
Go.
This is experimental radio at its finest. It's experimental when the program doesn't work, because that's all you're left with is experimenting. Okay, well, I'm in. Okay, I get it now. I'm connected to the show on Skype, so I just see, like, the show's logo. I don't see, you know, your glowing face. It's not like a three-way call, in other words. Let me disconnect from Skype. Yeah. Are you still there? It shows that you're on, says host. Your mic is red. That means you're hot. Mic is hot. That means. But I can't hear you talking. But once again, Blog Talk Radio has left us in the lurch. All right, time to spin a tune. Here we go. This is Here's Food. That's the go-to when shit fucks up because, you know, Blog Talk Radio, you really make me want to have a beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
shifted from experimental radio to surreal radio, Beer's Food became like a dream, like a crazy twisted dream, the Dragnet theme song. But that's all right. Now it looks like the host is back. His mic is hot. Can you say something, Double Z? Can we hear you? Z squared. Something's going wrong. Something is haywire. Send Beer's Food until we get this figured out.
There's the deal.
Oh, geez. What happened?
What happened was when you called me and put the radio show on hold. When I answered yours. Jeez, I know nothing about Skype. Skype's interface needs to be made for people that are not familiar with Skype. Because it was not telling me anything. It probably was if I knew where to look, but I didn't think it was a Skype issue. But now we know it was.
Well, I think being on hold is a major change. They should just have a big thing that pops up. Even it looks like a cartoon with a hammer that says, this guy's on hold. I mean,
yes,
something
that's
can't
exactly
miss.
What it needs. Christ almighty. So, good to be back with the show. Sorry about that little flub up there, folks. But if you stayed with us, we're going to make it well worth it. Are we not, Rufus?
Yes, we are. Oh, and we're out of time. Check us later, next Tuesday.
What's next Tuesday?
I was making a joke like we'd burn up all of our time.
Talk
radio.
Nah, you know what? It seemed like so long, I felt like I just woke up from a nap.
Or coma.
Yeah, I've been in a 6-year coma. No wonder. I would have thought that after all that time, Blog Talk Radio would have evolved, but I probably would be wrong.
Yes, you would be wrong.
We would not.
We should go to Elance and hire people to fix Blog Talk Radio. Just be like, dude, please fix Blog Talk Radio. They won't do it. I'll pay you to do it.
When we're super duper rich, we will do that. We'll let them keep it.
How much news would it make if, like, us, if we did, or just somebody in this scenario, did, like, a Kickstarter campaign to fix somebody else's broken shit? Like,
you know what?
We use this all the time. They're not fixing it. Give us some money, and we'll build something better, or we'll just pay somebody to fix their shit.
We'll just buy the people that own it an island, and they can just move away.
And
bury their hands in their face, or bury their faces in their hands. You know, I read a story about how Blog Talk Radio started.
I didn't know the story. Really? Okay. Let's have it.
I mean, here's probably what you assumed the story was, right? Some guy, some think tank at some venture capitalist place comes up with an idea for internet radio. That would be my assume. That'd be my assumption of how it happened.
Yeah, that's kind of what I assumed too.
Turns out it started out as a blog for the guy who invented Blog Talk Radio or whatever, founded it, I guess. He started out as a blog between him and his dad who was dying of cancer.
Okay, I instantly feel bad for criticizing Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that if you're charging someone, it's okay. If it was like some free cancer network thingies, that'd be one thing. I'd expect it to have bugs and errors, but when they're charging you $40 a month, I expect it to run pretty fucking flawlessly.
Good point.
I mean, how many subscriptions? I wonder if you could find out how many subscribers Blog Talk Radio has.
I don't know, but there's a lot. I mean, if you just kind of surf around the different categories, I mean, shitloads of people have shows, and it's big. I've seen, like off of Blog Talk Radio, I'll come across very successful blogs. They're like, check us out on Blog Talk Radio. So, I mean, they're making a pretty fucking penny. You'd think they could put some of that towards development.
Right, and if they just would start advertising that we're on here, then some shit would probably start to happen for Blog Talk Radio. And then they can use us free of charge they just have to not charge us the $40 if they want to pump up our show or use it for any kind of advertising purposes. We just get our $40
back. How do you make the leap from blogging with Cancer Dad to having a big, community?
You know what? They probably got into that in the second paragraph, but I didn't really get that far in the story. So I
what's
can't.
The, story,
I can't
what's
the rest
story
of the details just work themselves out.
Yeah. No, it just said, long story short, now we have Blog Talk Radio.
Deal was, I think his dad got too sick and couldn't actually write or really type anymore. So they started doing it like voice messages and talking live over the computer somehow. I guess. That's how I understood it. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I wonder if he sounded anything like Stuart Mockingjay when he was talking over the computer.
He might have. I wonder if we could rustle up some of those old of the first things ever said on Blog Talk Radio.
I bet we could. I wonder if his cancer had AIDS.
It probably did. I think that's what was so – you know what? I think for a while they weren't sure what was going to win, the AIDS or the cancer.
It was neck and neck. It was a photo finish.
I guess they don't win. I guess cancer just loses, and so does AIDS.
Yeah, that's true.
What is the deal? I mean, were they supposed to have, like, a cure for AIDS already or something?
It seems like I've read about several cures for AIDS. Like, there's this one guy they found who's impervious to AIDS. He just can't get AIDS. And I think they took his bone marrow and put it in a guy with AIDS. And then, like, 3 weeks later, that dude had no more AIDS.
Really?
And then, yeah, just last week I read something about an AIDS vaccine. They finally came up with an AIDS vaccine that just kills all strains of fucking AIDS.
And they're not making people get it? They're not making people get the vaccine? Shouldn't that be a law?
Well, it's strange, dude. It seems like over the past, like, 7 to 10 years, every now and then a headline will pop up and be like, this is finally fucking cured, or here's this, that's a big treatment, and then it just sort of disappears. Nothing ever happens, and it's still a problem. I mean,
right. It's funny you say that because what made me think of that was that so like 20 people in my old home state just came up with AIDS, all kind of in the same area, some from unprotected sex and some from sharing needles. And I mean, you'd think if they had people obviously are still getting sick from it. I mean, 20 people in one little community is pretty nuts.
Absolutely.
So I think that everyone should have to get an anti-AIDS test or anti-AIDS vaccination.
Yeah, well, if they have the vaccine, I mean, they should just lump it in with the whole DipTet or whatever you get when you're a kid, and then boom, you're done. Do all the fucking you want.
Well, adults should be the ones getting the AIDS vaccine now, though.
Right.
I mean, if you
I mean, like, I swear to God, I've read that headline, but where is it now? I mean, you don't know about it. I haven't seen it, like, broadcast on the news. I just read it on Drudge Report, and it was a link to, like, the Washington Post. But nobody seems to really give a shit.
AIDS is so fucking yesterday, dude. Everybody knows it. Ebola is the new AIDS.
Well, have you heard of bug chasers?
No. What exactly is that? I think those are people that collect VW bugs, right?
No, this is going to disgust your
blood. Make a TV show about it.
This is homosexuals. Nothing wrong with being homosexual. That's not part of the problem.
Of course not.
Who deliberately try to get AIDS and deliberately try to infect unwitting people with AIDS. And they're called bug chasers because they're chasing the bug. And there's a whole underground community for that.
You should be killed if you do that. A very painful death.
Killed. I don't remember how I found it. I stumbled across something. There's an article about it. It was like, this is fucking disgusting. And had excerpts in the article that were taken from posts in this bug chaser forum. And these guys talk about how, you know, this guy raped some dude at a truck stop, or he was at a rave and totally fucked this dude and then told him he had AIDS, or how that they would, like, rig condoms with holes in them. And it was like, that was like their conquest, was like to infect other people or get it themselves if they didn't already have it.
Wow. That sounds like a serious life mission.
Yeah.
To want to like die to kill other people. I mean, unwittingly, that's just, you got to be a fucking sick bastard. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. It was
raping someone to give them AIDS. What the fuck is that? That's wow.
Yeah, it was one of those things that there's, you know, some things you read that kind of disgust you and gross you out. Some things you read really fucking piss you off, right? And that was one of those things. I mean, I don't know if I want to see, I don't even know where the article is now, but it was infuriated me. with humanity.
I just think of all the nights that I've blacked out and just have to ask myself.
Yeah,
maybe,
and Aaron Turner.
Maybe
out.
I was bug chased.
Could have been. You were a bug chaser, as in like a drink that took you down in one shot.
I didn't want to tell you this, Rufus, but I'm the guy who gave the bone marrow to save the other dude from AIDS. That was me.
Is that right? Zigzag of
I wanted to be anonymous, but you pulled it out of me on the show.
Well, congrats. Thank you. As a member of the
You're
species,
welcome.
Thank you for bringing me into
well,
AIDS.
I mean, is that the guy who was like Iron AIDS guy was obviously he was exposed to AIDS a lot. I mean, he just kind of built up some kind of thing.
I don't remember the details. This was a few years ago, too, again. And you don't hear anything about it anymore for some reason, even though it worked. But I don't remember how they found out he was immune to AIDS. I don't think it was a bug chaser.
No. He was not. Well, I mean, he would be the ultimate. He wouldn't be any good at bug chasing because he couldn't give anyone AIDS, right?
Well, there you go. There's a sad story that would win an Oscar is the bug chaser who can't get AIDS, and he's all internally conflicted, and he's like, I must have AIDS, but I can't have AIDS.
Oh, my God. And in the long run, dude, when they're, like, having a giant shootout or something, they keep him alive, and they take all his bone marrow and cure all people of AIDS in, like, the ultimate twist to the story.
How ironic.
Right. Wow. And the award goes to Hyper Sloth.
That's right. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Rufus slipped. Don't mind Rufus. He's just drunk.
Well,
sorry
yeah.
about that, Rufus. Hey, I got a little – check this out real quick. 420 News is brought to you by 420 Product USA, makers of the Bud Buddy, convenient cannabis containment systems. That's right. He said, what you say about weed? What I say about weed is, Rufus, I don't know if you read this or not, but pot is legal in Washington, D.C.
I did not read that. I saw a reference to it, and I didn't know there was a news story behind it. I didn't know. I thought they were talking about Washington State. But, okay, it's legal in D.C. Wow. Man, if there's any one
yes.
place it needs to be.
Pot is legal in D.C., and Congress is trying to stop it, even though 7 out of 10 people that live in Washington, D.C. voted for it.
Oh,
I really
Congress
think,
for you.
I think that the legalization of pot is going to, like, open up a whole new, like, kind of expose how politics work and how fucked up they are. I mean, okay, 7 out of 10 people vote for it. And listen to what this guy says. This is what a congressman said. Let me see if I can find it. Here's what the congressman said to try to get to strong arm the mayor into overturning the recreational pot law. This is what the congressman said. We provide $500 million annually to the district. One would think that they would be much more compliant with the wishes of Congress. He's one of the pot opponents.
It's money.
I mean that. And it's
all
but it's
money.
Withholding. It's blackmail. It's blackmail
it
against
blackmail.
The people that pay the fucking taxes. That's our fucking money, dude. That's my
exactly.
money. You can't keep that money from me.
Nope.
Because you don't want me smoking weed? That's fucked up. What do you think, Rufus? What's your take on that?
Well, my take is, yeah, that's all corrupt and shit. But why? I just don't even understand the root of the problem. Like, why don't they want you smoking weed? I think there's some creepy shit there because they don't mind you drinking booze or smoking cigarettes.
Right.
But there's such an establishment of underhanded fucking money to keep weed illegal. It's not about, oh, we care about the people and weed is bad for them. It's more about like, oh, my pockets are padded by some creepy fucking weird shit and I don't want to get exposed. So I've got to fight this phony fight against weed. So I think you're right. I think you're totally right. It's really going to uncover once weed is like legalized everywhere. It's going to, like, lift the veil off of a whole bunch of corruption all over the fucking place.
I'm just saying straight-up political corruption. States suing other states. You know what I mean? And
oh,
it's just
exactly
it's just more
I mean.
Bureaucracy, more fucking bullshit to tie up the fucking legal
mm-hmm.
system. You know what I mean? And keep the fucking machine of bullshit fucking going.
Yep. You're right.
I mean, how many states need to sue other fucking states over stupid shit? I mean, that's so expensive. They're like $10 million to have a fucking trial for something so stupid.
Yeah.
So that's my take on that anyways. But, yeah, cool that you can smoke a joint. Well, obviously you can't smoke it outside. The deal is you can possess 2 ounces of pot legally. Or up to three, or up to three mature plants for use in home is legal. But see, that's not right. You got to be able to have both because you can't smoke a mature plant. You have to have a curing time for it. So they'll get that worked out, though. But that's the deal. It's good news. I think it's legal in fucking Washington D.C. Shouldn't the rest of the country kind of follow? I mean, that's basically the people who live in D.C. are the lawmakers and whatnot, and I mean, all the lawyers that tie all the bullshit up. I mean, who else lives in D.C.? Marion Barry.
Shit, I don't know. I mean, none of the Congress people live there. They only go there like once a week out of the year to quote unquote work.
I know. It's so fucking crazy. Here's another thing I was reading too. There's a thing in there where Congress knows that, you know, they need to reschedule marijuana because it's a Schedule I controlled substance, right? It's there with heroin and cocaine, or not even cocaine, like heroin, and I think that's it, to say that it has no legitimate medical use. And they don't want to reschedule it. You know, why? I don't know. I guess so they don't have to spend money on finding out how good it can be or how bad it could be, really. You know, there's no funding for it if you don't reschedule it. And it's the same old bullshit. Congress says, well, we're not going to reschedule it, even though there is proof. We don't have to be right. We're Congress. We just have to do what we have to do, or we're going to have to start some kind of lawsuit. I mean, their whole deal is like just start a lawsuit against someone. That's a great way to drain somebody. That's how John Rockefeller used to do it. He used to sue people, even when they weren't in the wrong, to just get them to drain them and fucking back them down. Because they can, you know, it's like whoever has the most money can go on the longest.
Well, I guess that's why people settle out of court, because they can just simply be like, fuck it, I can't fight this for years, I can't afford it, but here's $40,000, you know.
Right, even if you're not doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
His deal was just suing you until you go out of business and then buy your shit for pennies on the dollar. Did you ever get a chance to look at that, The Men Who Made America? I'm sure you did.
No, I got it slated for the weekend. I haven't seen it yet.
But these guys, it just goes to show you how dirty politics are. I mean, really. The whole country is founded, you know, by five men, basically. Henry Ford being the only decent one out of the bunch, really.
But I want to go back to the weed thing in a second. Maybe you can shed some light on this for me, because you're much more in the know than me.
Hey,
why?
Dude, I've got over 30 years of weed smoking experience.
But I didn't even talk about the experience. I'm more curious about, like, the history. Like, why? It's obviously not harmful, especially compared to other things that are legal. And just the plant itself produces so many other goods. Like, why? What's the history? How did it become so demonized by specifically the political elite, maybe conservative right-wingers? I mean,
by
what happened? Why,
the alcohol and tobacco companies. The alcohol and tobacco companies got a lobby together to lobby against weed. It was legal until 1939, I think, and that's when they made it illegal. And the thing that they said about weed was, the one guy who, I mean, remember, this is 1939, said, it makes it so even the biggest peasant can look an honorable man in the eye. That's what they said. That was like his quote.
Interesting.
It was the level playing field. People were perfectly happy to be not caught.
I can see that. So, it's relative. It's pretty complicated to make your own alcohol, or even to make your own tobacco and cigarettes. It's relatively easy, I would think, to grow marijuana and to smoke it. And so they're like, know, outlaw that shit so that we can sell our stuff, because otherwise people are just going to smoke weed and not give a shit about cigarettes and alcohol.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they did. So here comes the feds and say, see you later. I mean, right, the only patent on marijuana right now is actually held by the U.S. government, even though they don't recognize marijuana as anything. But they hold a patent on marijuana. And the patent, Rufus, goes back to, like, the early 1930s, and it says explicitly, like, for pain, people suffering pain and stuff like that. And, you know, it's
wow.
Like after that they just ditched it, and it's one of those things where now they just refuse to go back on it. Instead of saying, hey, you know what, that's so 70, it's 100 years ago almost.
Jesus.
So that's why I think that this conversation that America is starting to have about pot is like, hey, people want it legal. We're, you know, what happened to democracy, for real? If you can't tell your congressman what you want and they'd respect that, what the fuck is that? I mean, that's not a democracy.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a representative republic, right? You're supposed to represent me, and if 7
right.
out of 10 of me want it, then just be like, okay, there it is. You got it.
Well, and don't forget that when you go to run for office next time and you realize that now you're only getting 3/10 of the vote because the other 7 people remember that you're a fucking fish.
Exactly. The problem is that the guys who are against weed have conservative monetary backers who tend to be the richest, so they can stand to lose a shitload of common people because that one billionaire with the oil company is going to be like, well, fuck them. You know, here's $1 million.
That's right. Actually, one guy just gave $8 million. Sheldon Adelson gave $8 million to fight legalizing pot in Florida for medicinal uses just because he's a fucking nutbag. He owns a bunch of casinos. That's where he got his money, in casinos, and he doesn't want pot legal for some reason.
Oh, yeah, nobody gets addicted to gambling. That doesn't fuck your life up at all.
Right. Well, I mean, his idea probably is if they legalize pot, people won't have as much money to spend on fucking gambling.
You know what? If they legalize pot, people won't give a shit about gambling.
Right.
If you smoke the joint and you're like, man, I'm pretty cool with what I got.
Right. I don't need to gamble. I think I'll find something better to do, like, maybe think about something for 5 seconds instead of having some awful fucking gambling addiction.
That's right. If you're spending your time drinking all that cheap fucking casino wine and whiskey, that's just making you bitter and like wanting to get out of the hole. So you're like, I'm going to play the slot blackjack. But if you're smoking weed, you're just sitting home being like, everything's cool.
Right. Well, that's the deal, too, because you will sit at home. You know why? Because it's illegal. Okay, now make it legal and have people can go out and fucking smoke weed and spend money. You know, the reason people that are weed smokers stay home is because they're going to get busted and they can't smoke weed if they go out.
Right. Now, exactly. I mean, what would it do for the fast food industry? And I'm making a generalization,
obviously.
Oh, my God. But if you could smoke weed just even outside and, you know, outside and not be freaked out by going to a place to get a burger or a pizza just because you're high. I mean, it would be a boom for the fast food industry or even convenience stores or everything.
The sad part is I feel like you're being selfish because you're not thinking about the future of the delivery drivers of America.
Well, that too. Well, that's true. That's right. But the delivery drivers... You could start a whole new thing.
They can deliver magazines or something.
Yeah,
you still
well,
would
I mean,
like to get your paper at home.
I get no matter how legal it gets, so probably still you can't drive if you're high. So
right,
people aren't going to do that. But if you know you're not driving, you can have a fucking joint on the way, or be high, or you know your wife's a teetotaler. Fucking drive me to McDonald's. I'm stoned as shit. Want some fucking fries.
Why doesn't McDonald's deliver?
I mean,
it's not like their food is cheap or that it comes out of the fucking window warm. So why not just fucking deliver cold food?
That's right. We'll deliver it fast and cold. Right to
it
your door. Or at least the curb.
It'd be warmer if you got it delivered.
They just put
it
in your mailbox.
Set it on the heater vent.
Yeah, that's right. Put it under the hood on the way here. Then they just put it in the mailbox and bang on the mailbox before they speed off.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, it's like the mid-70s, probably late-70s, early-80s. It was a big deal for people to be cooking on their engines. You remember this is like a way to save energy or something? I used to think, man, it'd be so cool to fucking cook on an engine of a car.
It's funny, dude. The reason I brought that up is because I was watching your favorite guy, Andrew Zimmern, just the other day.
Oh, my God.
And, he was in Alaska or Antarctica
Such
or someplace. They took a snowmobile ride up somewhere, and on the way they cooked their lunch in the engine. That's what made me bring that up.
Really?
Yes.
And what exactly were they having, Rufus?
Some sort of weird fish with garlic and oregano, I guess. I don't remember. No, it was a bird. It was a game bird.
It was a game bird? That is so fucking mad. Just the sound. Okay, tell me chicken. Don't tell me game bird. I don't want to hear game bird. Just doesn't seem like it can sound good or taste good.
Well, it's gamey. Let's call it a game bird. It's got a gamey sensation to
and
it.
You know what? Explain to me gamey. Chewy? Is gamey chewy or is gamey a flavor?
It's a flavor. I mean, have you had deer?
I have, but it had so much shit on it that I don't know that I even tasted the deer part of it.
Game is a flavor. It's hard to explain, but game is definitely a flavor. If you've ever had deer or something that wasn't fed like feed, you know, something that was out in the wild just eating whatever the fuck it could find, the meat has a...
Garbage. But, got like a nice garbage after flavor.
I don't want to say garbage, but it's a rustic flavor. I'll put it that way. It's like, you know, you're eating something that wasn't, like, pampered. I mean, it tastes like something that really had to fucking live, you know?
Had a fucking hard life. That almost make you feel guilty for eating it.
Yeah, this thing struggled so hard, and then I shot it and ate it.
Right. And now, I don't feel so bad if they're being raised in, like, prison. You know? This guy had a job. I'll tell you, you know what I saw this guy in the local paper robbed a bank so he could go back to prison, okay? He just got out after doing a 30-year fucking stretch, and he went and robbed a bank so he could go back in for 8 more years. And that, to me, Rufus, says that prison's too fucking easy. You should not want to go back to prison.
I don't know if it's easy, but, I mean, if you're there 30 years, so much changes in 30 years, I don't think you can fucking function. I mean, they should prep you somehow. If they're going to release you, they should be like, oh, yeah, by the way, cell phones fucking exist, and, you know, the job market is totally fucking different. But,
the world will always be
ditch too easy. Do what?
I said the world always will need ditch diggers.
This is true. As long as there is a ditch to be dug, well...
What I'm trying to figure out exactly what is hard in jail other than being locked up. I mean, make the fuckers work or something.
I don't know. Cause I watch a lot of that. I watch Jail and I watch Locked Up and Locked Up Extreme and Locked Up Double Extreme. And, I mean, other than, like, you getting raped and shit, I mean, they even have a commissary. You can, like, go and buy fucking ramen noodles and shit.
Ramen noodles, dude? Like, fucking candy bars and shit? Those guys are living. Cable?
I mean,
cable TV in your fucking prison cell? Really?
Book? Yeah.
Cable TV, dude? No wonder people don't want to get out of fucking jail. I mean, you get to watch TV in your room.
I mean, I think the only thing that would get to me, I would be totally fine with jail, dude. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of a homebody. I could go to jail and just
sit in my
cell.
It's like, to me, it'd be like going back to St. Edward's and living in the dorm.
Yeah, it'd be an excuse to do nothing. I mean, I love when it rains outside because I get to sit inside and be like, yeah, fuck it.
Right.
I mean, if I could just do that all the time, the only thing I would miss is, like, going outside, but at least you get an hour a day, not be in a cage, but at least
that's
it's an probably, hour.
That might be longer than I spend outside anyways. I mean, like, are you really going to make me go outside? You don't have to go outside, do you?
That's right. They come get you for your hour outdoors, and you're like, no, I'm reading.
I'm sick. I'm too sick to go outside.
Right. I don't feel good. Can I have a sick day?
My guess is that you're right, though. You get out of fucking prison after 30 years or eight. You know, he got a 30-year sentence. He probably did fucking 10 or something. Who the fuck knows? But you just have no idea what the fuck is going on in the outside world. Or do you? I mean, they have classes where you can – remember we were saying a couple weeks ago? Go to prison for 3 years and get like a fucking bachelor's degree or something?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just it's culture shock. And you're right. I mean, prison might suck, but you don't have to fucking do anything. So when you get out and you're like, well, I got to get a job. I got to find a place to live. I got to pay for it. Jesus Christ, all this fucking work. I don't think it's necessarily that prison's awesome and easy, but when you've been just sitting on your ass in a fucking prison all day getting 3 square meals a day.
And dental work?
It's fucking bad. And dental, yeah, no kidding.
Probably the best fucking money could buy. Go in for a fucking free setup. Like I said, I might do a small stretch coming up.
I think I might do that, too. We should both go to prison, see if we can get the same cell. We'll broadcast it live on YouTube. And make
oh, my God. We could probably. We could start the prison radio show. We would fight for our right to have a radio show. We'll shut this fucker down.
There's a couple riots.
Here's a guy fighting for some rights. I want you to listen to this and listen close, okay, Riff?
Oh, Jesus, Lord, can I get me a Bud Buddy up in here? I said, can I get a Bud Buddy up in here? Praise God for the Bud Buddy. When your friends and family are driving you nutty, praise you, God, for the Bud Buddy. Thank you, Jesus.
That was the Reverend Mo Green. Are you familiar with his work at all, Rufus?
Oh, yes. I have all of his audio tapes.
Yeah, that guy's legit, dude. He's not like Creflo Dollar. Mo Green, he's all about the earth and the good stuff. He really is.
But
I admire the man.
Mo Green. Yeah. He's a good soul. He's a good soul.
He's an old soul. He wears a green jumpsuit. You know what? I was watching a show. It was one of those traveling shows last night. Oh, it was this is a show I actually usually don't watch. The Amazing Race. And they actually had a clever idea. I don't know how they get people to agree to this, but they teamed up complete strangers on quote-unquote blind dates to travel around the world together on this, you know. Have you ever seen The Amazing Race? I'm guessing you're familiar with the concept.
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, after like 2 minutes, the hottest chick was talking to this dude from the back seat of this car, and she's yapping, and all I could think of, if it was me, I would have just had to say, can you shut the fuck up, please? We're done here. We're done. I quit.
Wow, but it was a blind date, right? He had never met her before, so
instant
regret.
You know, I'm sure they all have the same agent or something like that. It's all such bullshit. All these people like do these reality shows. There's like a circuit of people that do that shit. To me, they're just as bad as bug chasers.
I think they are, yeah, because they're infecting the human mind with stupid bullshit.
that they are. When will it be enough reality TV, do you think? You think that day could ever come? I mean, are people just so bored with their own lives they'd rather watch someone else live their life while they watch?
I don't know. I mean, I think people know it's scripted. I think people know it's like professional wrestling, you know? And that's still around. I don't think reality TV is going anywhere. I think the awareness that people know it's all fucking bullshit is growing. But people are like, okay, well, it's okay. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine, yes. I'm fine watching someone else live their life. You know, it was interesting on Facebook. I get Tommy Chong's feed, and one of his Facebook things went out. Obviously, it's not something he came up with, but it's probably some old samurai tale or something, but it said, if you don't live your life now, when will you? And I thought, that's pretty fucking deep. I was pretty high at the time, but kind of makes sense, really. If you don't do it now, when will you? You know, you're always talking about putting stuff off till tomorrow, or I'll do it. That's why we're doing this Hypersloth thing now, full speed ahead.
Hey, Van Halen said it best with their song Right Now.
Sing a little bit of that for us, could you, Riff?
No, I can't. But I tell you what, now that I'm a horse owner, whenever you said Tommy Chong's feed, the first thing I envisioned in my head was a 40-pound bag of horse feed with Tommy Chong's face on it and a feed that was, like, infused with, like, THC. That would be awesome.
Your horses would probably end up, like you said last week, like, so fat that their little arms would just be, or their legs would be sticking out the sides.
That'd be a great shit, dude. Some guy pulling up to a feed story. I'll take the Tommy Chong feed. And they bring it out, and the horses get all fucking stoned and just kind of chill out.
The horse has dreadlocks. The horse's mane is turned into a giant dreadlock.
Right, nice.
You know what? I had an idea. Tell me if you think this is a good idea for an invention. You know how when you have to button the cuff, like the arm cuff on a shirt, like a fancy shirt? You know how, are you ever afraid? First of all, it's kind of a pain in the ass, right? Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, imagine if you had really bad arthritis or were disabled.
Ew. Impossible.
So what my idea is to sell a button, Rufus, right,
mm-hmm.
that you sew onto the shirt, but it has elastic so the button can stretch away from the shirt. And then you would never have to unbutton it. You could just push your arm through the hole. Right, and it would stretch enough, but then it would come back to look like it's like a buttoned cuff.
Are you Leonardo da Vinci?
I mean, does that make sense or not? Do you understand what I'm saying? I wonder if they already have something like that.
I don't know. That makes so much fucking sense that it seems to me like that should exist. I mean, really, that's a really good fucking idea.
Well, imagine for your neck. Do you ever have to do a? You ever have a shirt that's like too tight in the neck? There's nothing worse than that, except a very uncomfortable pair of shoes.
I can't remember the last time I had to button the top button, like to put on a tie.
Right,
but,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
It's like choking the fuck out of you. And yeah, so
you know
like
what?
A little elastic string.
That's right. Opens up the neck a little bit. I can't even tell you how many times I've cut the fucking button off on the top button and used the tie to keep the shirt closed.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to choke to death. So once again, I think we've reached our quota for the show as far as inventions go. Another one.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll surpass it by the end of the show. There's definitely
you know what's funny is that,
that seems
like it'd be pretty cheap to make that. What do you need? Just some different colored buttons and some different colored plastic.
Yeah. Oh wow. You're talking a whole other level than what I was saying. I thought you were talking about making a shirt that had that built in. You're talking about making like a button, elastic button attachment that will fit on any shirt.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. My mind is blown.
I mean, even if you just sold them for like $2 a piece or something.
God damn.
What would
dude.
We call that? Unibutton? Expando button? Got to be something better than that out there.
Expando button.
I'm throwing ideas out there, Rufus.
Dude, I guarantee you an ad in the AARP magazine would yield an ROI of 700%.
I couldn't agree more. And that's what I'm saying. Disabled people and AARP, they're our bread and butter. And lazy people, stoners like myself. I thought of it. I bought a new, quilted flannel shirt, or a flannel shirt with a quilted interior from a big box store.
Sure.
And it fit nicely, but to put it on and off, it has buttons on the sleeves, right at the very bottom, like a flannel shirt, I guess. So every time I was taking it off and on, I had to like unbutton it, because if I were to push my hand through, I would have popped the fucking button off.
Right.
So I thought to myself, you know what would be a brilliant invention? And it just came to me, dude. It just came to me. And then
it
I came on
invention.
It. So it could be
packaged small. It could be sold with existing shirts in big box stores, like a combo deal. You know, buy the Arrow shirts, get the button thing free. And we just take a
This is how I picture it, Roops. Eventually what we would do is we'd patent that, right? And then patent it, and the shirt makers can come to us to use our idea of our elastic button on the shirt.
That's why we need to team up with Mr. Beautiful from Shark Tank, because he's the licensing guy. He's the one that's always like, I'm not going to fund you. I'm going to license it and sell it to all the other fucking manufacturers and get your money that way.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually wrote this down. I texted it to me earlier, and I wanted to say to you that we could go on the arthritis handicap people angle for the sharks, because I was already thinking Shark Tank.
That's a Shark Tank item. I think that's a provable concept, and I think that guy would bite for sure.
I think just about it. I mean, what's funny is we could pitch something to everybody. We could have we could be a recurring theme on fucking Shark Tank. We could pitch one thing one week, and then we go back the next week and pitch an app idea. Then we go back the next week and pitch our lottery at the pump idea. Then we go back the next week and, you know, I mean, we could endlessly pitch these fucking people.
That's true. But we should do that. Just make that a thing. They must have, some form on the website where you apply. We'll just do it.
Right.
Every week we'll apply with a brand new idea.
But, I mean, obviously, do they want to see that you've got a business up and going? Or we could just be Hypersloth the think tank. You know, and they can say,
you guys keep
coming to us with these ideas. But they want to see you have a patent and shit, because they're supposed to invest in what you have legally, I guess. Yes or
that's
no? I don't really know how the...
Especially that guy who wants to license it, because the reason you would license it to everybody else is because you own the patent, so they can't create it. Good point. I think that's a good idea. That's the one to patent for sure.
Yeah, but then you get on the patent search and you see someone else got it, then you get all bummed out and have to go on a 3-month drinking bender trying to come up with a new idea.
Well, then improve it. Maybe I'll tell you what I hate about shirts, and not all shirts have this, but some shirts have that button that's like halfway, it's between the wrist button and the elbow. What the fuck is that button for?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the button that you back button your shirt to, I guess, the cuff. If you fold up your sleeve, that there, my friend, was probably propagated on the unsuspecting public by the button manufacturers.
I think so, because that's how I always discover that button, is because I want to roll up my sleeves, and I get two rolls in, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? God,
why would somebody put a button
there?
Two rolls in, even. No sense, two fucking rolls in, unless you rolled your sleeve up in half. Right? You, had a giant long cuff that was not the sleeve of the shirt. It was not, the very end of the sleeve.
Right.
That's poorly thought out. That was. That's a sham propagated on the public by the fucking button manufacturers. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think so.
By some guy from China, some giant corporate raider from China came up with that. Expand their button business.
Are you really? Everything seems cool on my end.
All right. You're not hearing any static from me?
No. Are you still hearing static from me?
A little bit. Not now, I'm not.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what we need. You know what? We just need to call Kid Rock and say, we're looking for a partner. We don't want you to pay our bills. We just want you to pay to develop our awesome fucking ideas and then split the money with us.
Yeah.
Why can't we get someone to buy on that fucking idea? I mean, we have all these great ideas, and I saw that Little Caesars just came out with a bacon-wrapped pizza.
A bacon-wrapped
pizza? I'm all for bacon, but I think we're taking the bacon craze just a little too far when we're wrapping pizza in bacon.
That's right.
The pizza, listen to this pizza. It's the crust is wrapped in bacon. It's a deep dish pizza where the whole bottom of the crust and the sides of the crust are wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how greasy this fucking thing is, first of all. I mean, really? There's no way. Then on top of it, you get bacon bits and sausage and quote-unquote pork topping. I'm not sure what that fucking entails.
Pork topping. That's my porno,
and Canadian
man.
Bacon.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Did you know there's a fucking neckbeard video game player with a jug of Mountain Dew next to him shoveling that down his fucking maw?
Oh, my. Everything's better with bacon. Andrew Zimmern said it.
That's right. Tastes gamey, but it's good.
I'm sorry. A pizza crust just inebriated with fucking bacon grease does not sound appetizing to me.
No, it does not.
I don't know. Someone should lose their job over that. That's all I want to say about that. But I'm sure I probably will try at least one bite. I don't think I can fairly judge this pizza, Rufus, unless I try it. Do you agree?
That's true. I think I'll have to do some field research on that.
I'm going to get a note from my cardiologist first, though. Making sure I should go have my enzymes checked.
I'm sure I'll get a note after from my cardiologist.
I'm sure you will. It'll be the final note. It'll be a set of flowers on your fucking at your funeral.
That's right. It'll be condolences.
It will say, should have called me. Shouldn't have skipped that appointment.
That's right.
Yeah, a bacon crust pizza. Call us up if you've ever heard of such a thing. 646-478-0616. We'd love to hear from you. Wouldn't we, Roof?
Absolutely
we would. Anything else going on in the news you can think of, Rufus?
Not that leaps to mind, but hang on, I'm looking at Drudge Report here. Maybe something will happen. Obama banned bullet sales for AR-15s.
Uh-oh. So who's... I don't get it, because that's what the Army uses, right?
Well, of course, I don't think he banned them for the Army, but for people. AR-15 is the best-selling rifle, and they couldn't, for whatever reason, ban the sale of the rifles. So it was like, fuck it, I'll ban the bullets. So now you got to have an AR-15, you should have logged.
Unless you want to spend like $50 per fucking bullet or something, I would imagine.
Right.
Sure there's somebody somewhere coming up with an idea for a new bullet for an AR-15 that works for something else.
Or you probably just 3D print one now. That's what we should do, is make a 3D printed bullet.
I was watching a show on those 3D printed houses. Remember you were talking about that before?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no reason that you absolutely 100% could not do that. I mean, seeing what Carnegie did for the skyline of New York with just steel, and I mean, they still need a shit ton of labor and shit like that. You know, it all depends on the weather. If you have some fucking giant machine cranking shit out and spitting it out into giant slabs of whatever the fuck it should be made of, I mean, there's no stopping what you could do. You could build over the oceans and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we need to think of. We need to think of that special slurry that is just a bunch of crap, like old salvage shit mixed together to spit out some super awesome, super strong new substance that could be used to build buildings and bridges and shit like that.
This one's really complicated. I think I'd rather stick to your button idea.
Really? Why don't we, let's take some of the revenue from the button idea and buy a 3D printer, a small working 3D printer. Then I'll be completely satisfied with that whole idea.
Okay, great. That'll work.
We no longer need to invite a giant machine that recreates everything. Never mind.
Sure, we go from making buttons to retards to put on shirts to revolutionizing how everything is made.
Right, everything, how people live. We were recreating how people live. Hey, if you know about shirts, and please, it's like you're in the inner psyche of the human mind right there. I know what people want. They want to be as lazy as they can. They want You know what? I want us to sell so many of these things that you don't have to button a button that after 1,000 years, people no longer have fingers. Because they have not needed to button buttons in so long.
You want to create something that is so fucking useful that people evolve away from the appendages needed to do that function. That's awesome.
Exactly.
That's when I'll know I have made it. That's right.
Let's invent the button shirt with no button. It's just a pullover shirt that's sewn to look like it's a button-up.
It's not even a pullover. You just sort of writhe around and wiggle into it, and there you are. You don't have to pull anything.
I'm going to tell you the most annoying part about a fucking shirt. And we're going to – you know what? We're going to get to the bottom of this right here on this show. Obviously, you've worn a dress shirt, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Now, every dress shirt, you know where they stop the buttons on a dress shirt? They need to take
your fucking belt line so that if you can even move it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm not insane. They need to take that fucking button from the elbow or wherever they got that random button and put it down on the fucking bottom of the shirt so every time you turn, your fucking navel is not exposed.
Dude, I completely agree. That is the one thing I hate about fucking. What do they think? People don't move when they put on a dress shirt? I mean, as soon as you yawn or stretch, your guts
exposed.
They
just figure you're in a casket.
But even then, you bloat.
That's true. They got to fucking get a little extra. That's a good place for the elastic buttons, too.
What we need to make is a dickie that you wear in your pants that sticks up and creates a shirt. So you wear a dickie for the top and a dickie for the bottom, and in between there is no shirt.
What in the world is wrong? They've been making shirts for how long, Rufus? How long have people been wearing shirts?
A long time. And these are expensive shirts. I mean, I've bought some dress shirts that are quite expensive.
Right.
And still, as soon as if I reach up to like turn off a light, boom, my gut's exposed because there's that one fucking button.
Right. Thank you for having the same. I mean, now I have to assume that even though we're superior, that is our common touch with every man. We have that in common with every man, so we know that's a good idea.
It is a good idea. I mean, the fact that. I completed your sentence there because it's an obvious design flaw in the shirt industry. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, what in the world is it? What are we missing? I think their idea is they don't want if they add one more button, the button to be getting caught on the top of your pants or your zipper or your belt or something. Well, add the fucking button way lower than that. What's the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. See, that gets me back to our one-piece shirt. It's a pullover shirt that looks like a button-up and has a collar on it with buttons going down the front, but it's just a pullover because that would never, like, do that. It would never open up down there.
Maybe the dress shirt people are in cahoots with the cummerbund people, and the cummerbund people are like, no, we need the cummerbund to hide that little slit that opens up whenever somebody stretches. So you have to stop your buttons there, so the cummerbund is necessary.
I think maybe the cummerbund was invented to take care of that particular problem.
Right. Okay. Same way. Yeah. So it was invented to solve that problem, and now that's another moneymaker. So they're not going to solve the problem by adding another button. They're going to sell you a cummerbund.
And put all those cummerbund people out of business by just. Making people adding that extra button. You're right. You know, now I feel bad. I don't want to put the cummerbund people out of business. They're honest people.
You're gonna destroy jobs and families if you do that. Think of the children.
I think the vest destroyed the cummerbund.
I think it did too, because they don't work well together. It's like, oh, you're trying too much.
Do you ever wear them together? I don't think you would ever wear a cummerbund. And call us up and let us know if you ever would wear a vest and a cummerbund together. 646-470-646. What's that?
The last tux I wore had a vest. It didn't have a cummerbund. But you're
right.
You're
mine did too.
The vest might have muscled in on the Cumberbund territory.
Yeah, it took over. I'm telling you.
But still, they made the deal for shirt people. They were like, okay, shirt people, don't put that extra button down there that everybody wants because we need them to buy the fucking vest.
Oh, man, this is getting a little too – I don't want to go there. Now I feel like we're getting into some serious politics and what's going on in the garment industry. I'm not ready. It might be a little too heady for me.
It's the Illuminati and the Freemasons. You're running roughshod all over the garment industry.
Hey, how about speaking of marijuana legalization like we were earlier, let's play Farmer Song. We're going to have to get this out here because when Kid Rock re-records the song, it's going to be a pretty big deal, even bigger deal than it is now. Mind if I spit it for the folks, Roof?
Well, of course not. I don't mind at all.
All righty. See you at 4 and 51.
Right.
Set your watches.
Yeah.
There she blows. There she blows over the starboard bow. The next next hit. Jay, you know what? Is that up on the? That's not on the website, is it?
Yeah, on the website? No, it's not on the website, but it's on iTunes and Amazon Play, and it's on Google. Yeah, people can definitely buy it.
Oh, I didn't know if that one was up there or not. Now, what? Oh, Fried Eggs and Ham was the one that you were supposed to put up for sale.
Fried Eggs and Ham is the one that I need to put up for sale, but there's some mixing stuff I want to do to it first.
Make sure that that you get the ASCAP stuff straightened out with those before you put them up. I don't want anybody jipping us off, so to speak.
Well, actually, I'm affiliated with BMI.
BMI, sorry. That's what I meant.
Yeah, well, but Farmer Song and Deer's Food are both registered with BMI, so they're protected, and that's not a joke.
No joke. So how are the horses doing? You still got snow going on there?
No, the snow's melting. It's warming up. I think it's supposed to get colder again midweek next week and maybe some more snow, but it's drying up here. Horses are fine. Horses are good.
It's this is like the winter that won't go away, Rufus. Let's do a little weather rant. It's cold as fuck where I'm at, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've got no rant. It's kind of cool for me because I've never, snow was kind of rare for me growing up. So this is like a winter wonderland for us. But for you,
right,
it's negative 25. And how do you even fucking
it's
function?
Annoying.
I mean, I go outside here when it's cold enough to be snowing. We got 3 inches of snow. That's amazing for us. And I just step outside, and instantly I'm frozen to death. I mean, how do you people up there even function? Just doing your daily stuff?
I want to say you get used to it, but the deal is, like, I was fine when I was a kid. It didn't really bother me and shit. And even when I was younger than I am now, now it's like you get unused to it. Because it's so fucking cold when you walk outside when you're 40-something years old. You're like, God damn, this is fucking ridiculously cold. When you're, like, 12, you're like, hey, this is pretty fucking cool. Who cares how cold it is?
Is it worse cold now than it was then? Because the whole, all over the news, it's like, oh, the new ice age is coming. It's the coldest winter since 1800 and something. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of it?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know what? When they say the coldest ever, that's great. I mean, coldest ever by, like, 1 or 2 degrees. You know what I mean? That's so fucking relative when they say coldest ever. It's not like all of a sudden it's 40 degrees colder than it was 20 years ago. It's just like 5 degrees colder, which is a start, obviously. But it's fucking miserable. That's all I can tell you. It's fucking miserable.
So here's a question I have for you. Just in terms of the human body, I mean, is there a difference that you can perceive between it being just freezing and negative 25? I mean, once it's freezing, is it pretty much just it feels freezing no matter how much colder it gets? Or do you know the difference between?
Oh, no.
Really?
You can tell a difference, dude. I can tell you this for a fact. A couple days ago, the high was 4, right? And you know, you even if it's 4 degrees out, dude, you got to fucking get gas. You got to go from your car to inside the store or inside your office or whatever. And then, like, 2 days later, it was, like, 25, okay? And 25 after it being 4 feels like it's like 40 or 50 degrees out. You're like, Jesus Christ, I was at my cousin's liquor store. Like, every person that came in was like, holy shit, it feels so warm out. Or isn't it fucking nice out? And it's really like 22 degrees out. It's just so much better than 4.
That is so fucking amazing. That's really intriguing to me.
But you're right. Cold is cold. You know, as soon as you're one cold, yeah, it's fucking cold. I think it's just, it will kill you faster when it's 4 degrees out.
Right.
Like, people get frostbite and shit. Stupid people.
We're not prepared for it. I mean, we don't have any, like, real winter snowy clothes. So, like, the other day, my boy wanted to build a snowman. So we went outside. We have to, like, cloth gloves. They don't, like, repel snow and water. They absorb it. So we're building a snowman, and my fingers are getting numb. There's that weird combination of numb and yet somehow excruciatingly painful. I don't know how numb and pain
and hot
works together.
It's called numb and hot at the same time. When you know your hands are so cold that they feel like they're hot, That's not a good thing.
Yeah. And my plan, I was going to build a snowman the size of me, and I ended up building one about chest high to my kid because I was like, we're fucking done because we're going to die. And I just can't imagine doing that in negative whatever. I mean, that was 30 degrees outside.
We have a snowman in our front yard that's been there since before Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's insane. That is ridiculous. That's hasn't even warmed up that much to melt. It's melted a little bit, but not really. It's still there. Now it's just like a solid block of ice that could I'll probably get sued if someone gets crushed by it.
Has the HOA complained yet?
I have to get a permit to knock it over. They'll come out. City will come out. They'll pull a permit. You didn't? Did you ever get a permit for any of that stuff that you did on your house?
No, I live out in boonies, man. Nobody gives a shit.
Why do you pull a permit? I mean, what's the sense in pulling a permit? So you just start racking up a bunch of bills for yourself or something? Because they got to send people employed.
A zoned area where it's like zoned for residential or zoned for commercial, then you have to do that shit. I guess. I don't know.
No,
somebody might get steam.
You're supposed to have to do it if you like finish your basement or add some kind of wiring to your house. You're like always supposed to pull a permit. I'm like, I never would fucking do that. First of all, there goes your taxes. They're going to start charging you more for taxes, obviously.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, you just added $500,000 onto the value of your house by finishing one room. The man sucks.
$2 billion to this house, then.
Why? Because you're going to add, like, a bunch of rooms?
Well, no, because it was a total fucking disaster wreck before we moved in, and we've done so much.
Oh, you're saying that if they come and do a re-tax deal on it?
Mm-hmm.
You just what are you supposed to do as far as that goes?
I
guess
know.
Only worry about that if you're ever going to sell it, right?
Yeah, and I don't plan to.
Right, so no sense in anybody knowing anything about that. I didn't hear it here, that's for sure.
No, I'm in the woods surrounded by trees, so nobody even knows we're here. I'm a doomsday prepper.
How are the dogs doing? Doomsday prepper.
They're doing good. Just dumb and obnoxious and yet somehow lovable, as always.
They take good pictures, that's for sure. I saw that. I saw your Instagram pictures. There's a little too many selfies of you in the bathroom, which is a little weird. With your hair in a towel, but that's cool, dude. I understand what you're trying to get across there.
It's an art project.
Yeah. You know what? Thinking back now, I realize that your chest hair was shaved into different patterns in every picture. Nicely done.
It was. Now, if you download all those chest hair pictures and then overlay them in Photoshop with a 50% opacity, it reveals a secret message.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Is it a treasure trail? Tell me it's a treasure trail.
Yeah.
Down to Snake Mill.
It's not a treasure trail. It's just a big smiley face.
Oh, it's a big smiley face. You should make it like a puzzle that you put together. I'm actually making them into my wallpaper right now, so hold on a second.
Right.
You should sell advertising on your chest hair.
I should.
Remember when those people were like boxing and advertising? It was like Tonya Harding would like have your name on her back for like $10,000 or something while she boxes some other fucking cracked out tramp whore.
Well, that was a series for a while with celebrity boxing.
Right.
Tonya Harding had a. That redheaded dipshit from the Parkes family and lots of other guys.
Oh, my God, the Dooch?
Yeah, Bonaducci.
Bonaducci. Oh, my God, dude, if you ever get a chance, have you ever seen that show Breaking Bonaducci?
I was going to say, I loved that show when it was on. I just, that dude, I kind of like that guy. I mean, the fact that he's like
working out. I do too, dude. I love the douche. I got
he's
respect
busting,
for him.
He's fucking beefed up, busting his ass at the gym, and then smoking a pack of Marlboro Reds. Something about that combination just fascinates me.
Something about him crawling into the bottle of that fucking vodka bottle and having that breakdown on the fucking camera. Did you see that?
That's right.
Oh, my God, dude. All right, reality TV, that's fucking reality TV to me, man. You know what? Show me that. I'll watch that.
Well, I think that's before.
I mean, it's hard to watch someone at their fucking breaking point, dude. He was hitting a fucking bottom, and we witnessed it.
Well, I think that was back when reality TV was reality TV. And then it just became, you know, it's kind of snowball, and they got to keep ratings up. And that's when it became like, let's start making shit up.
Oh, that was on
E
Entertainment.
That, show.
That was on E. That Breaking Bonaducci. Wow,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that was great.
That guy, his life is like a roller coaster, really. He, like, does good for a while, then he marries some fucking crazy chick that wants to do drugs, and he gets drunk and does drugs.
Well,
then
he was at some awards show not too long ago, and somebody, he got up to present or accept an award, and somebody stood on the stage, and it was another comedian trying to be funny, and he lifted him up and body slammed him over his shoulder and, like, broke the guy's neck or something, really fucked him up.
Jesus Christ. You cannot fuck with the limelight if it's on the douche. You just don't do it.
No, absolutely not.
Wouldn't it be awesome if someone did that to fucking Kanye West and he walked up there and just fucking broke his neck? You know, I saw this thing today. It was a headline, and it says that Billy Corgan says he can beat up Kanye West. And I didn't actually read it, but I would love to read that and see what it says.
Billy Corgan couldn't beat up a fucking feather pillow.
Can you Google that to see what it says? I can't. My computer is not cooperating.
Yeah. Hey, look, Billy Corgan.
Fight Kanye West.
I can't believe those guys exist in the same Google search.
They shared Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, here we go. 10 hours ago, Billy Corgan says he could beat Kanye West in a fight.
What's the story there?
In a fight. So what does that say?
Who's he telling that to?
It looks like he was in a TV interview. Hang on a second. Hang on. It's loading.
I know the deal is, though, Billy Corgan's like 6'5", is he not?
Yeah, but he's fucking puny and stupid. I mean, I'm 5'7".
I know. You saw him in that medium shirt, dude. His gut, he could throw some weight behind that gut and fucking hurt somebody.
That's true. He needs an extra button on that shirt.
He did. He needed your pants dickie. I guess when you think about it, all a pants dickie would be is a cummerbund that you wear inside your pants. Or inside your shirt.
Pants dickie. You coined it, man. All right. Pop Music and the Pumpkins. How much has the industry really changed? It was on the morning show. An interview on the morning show, apparently, when he said it.
And there's no context to why he said it?
Okay, here's the quote. Kanye's from Chicago, so I got to be careful. I got to represent, is what he said. I think it's inappropriate for any artist to take somebody else's moment and make it their own. And that particular moment, you're basically saying that everything that Beck's done to be in that position is negated because in your own mind it's not relevant to you or your own thing. I didn't think that's the moment to do it. Maybe afterwards you can say that. You can put it in your own blog. Okay, that's a good point. But to jump on stage and steal that moment, to reappropriate it in your own way, I think is inappropriate. I will add, and
totally
I mean
right.
this in all seriousness, well, here it comes. I will add, and I mean this in all seriousness, the problem with the social media era is the Grammys will be rewarded for bad behavior, and so by extension will Kanye. Well, shit, that makes sense, too. It really should be a celebration of accomplishment, and it becomes another version of high school. Well, shit, that quote wasn't even in there. I'm kind of disappointed that it made some sense.
No, you know what? It makes total sense. I still don't hear him say that he could beat him up.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that quote, because this is the link that came up when I searched it.
I mean, he did make perfect sense. That when you don't have anything else, I guess you try those moments, those, you know, and you take that moment from Beck. It's gone forever. That is just so fucking selfish. It's crazy.
That is, yeah, it is. Okay, this is pretty fucking misleading. The word, I searched the word beat on the page for this article, or on
yeah.
the page in this article. It only shows up in the title, not in the story at all.
Oh, my God.
There's no quote.
That's yellow.
No mention of it.
That's some yellow journalism there, my friend.
Yes, it is.
Now, I do honestly think, though, that Billy Corgan probably could beat up Kanye West. I mean, what the fuck? Kanye, he's not, like, legit, is he?
No, I think you're right. I think Kanye's all, he's a blowhard. He's all mouth and no muscle.
I mean, he's not like 50 Cent. Like, Kanye did not take fucking like 9 bullets, 3 of them in the face, and live. I mean, Kanye probably went to fucking prep school or some shit. He's probably like the Fresh Prince in real life.
Well, he's a fucking douchebag, really.
Now, is he East Coast or West Coast, Kanye?
Kanye Coast. He's got his own coast.
First of all, what is a Kanye song? Do people actually listen to Kanye? Or is he just like something that is in the news all the time and doesn't really have any album sales?
I think he's like a phantom celebrity. I can't say that I've ever heard a Kanye song, and I don't listen to that genre of music, but I
right.
can say I've heard an Iggy Azalea song, or I've heard Black Eyed Peas song or Snoop Dogg
Look,
song. I've never
if he
in my
was
life
legit,
heard a Kanye song.
If he was a legit musician, you would have heard it in a commercial or on a TV show
yeah.
and it stuck with you. You know what I mean? Or they'd be fucking beating the hell out of it. You wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be able to get away from it if it was any good.
That's right.
So, fuck Kanye. I do think I would take Billy Corgan. I think he could beat him up. I mean, Billy Corgan had sex with Courtney Love. So, obviously, he's pretty fucking demented.
Man, yeah, that's like going fist to cuffs with a bear. Yeah, so
right.
he can handle Kanye.
Giant, slimy vagina bear after you. Oh, my God. Poor guy. I bet he doesn't sleep well. He's probably on a lot of Xanax.
Much love to Courtney Love. It's like wrestling some sloppy reptilian beast from the depths of the fucking prehistoric ocean.
Oh my gosh, he's all pilled up trying to have sex with you, telling you how she can't shit or something.
It's like fucking a hog trough.
I can't even imagine being in a relationship with somebody like Courtney Love. How surreal must your fucking life seem when you're coming home to Courtney Love? And she's just this fucking disgusting, pilled up, junked up mess of a person who makes no sense and you want to probably kill.
I don't know. Did they call that rock bottom or bottom of the barrel?
Well, Billy Corgan dated Courtney Love.
Was it before or after Kurt got killed?
It was before. He dated Courtney. It sounded to me like he dated Courtney Love before Courtney met Kurt, I think. And he was like, hey, she's totally insane, basically. And I'm not just one to say that. He sounded as sane as he did in that interview just a second ago as he did when he was talking about how nuts Courtney Love was.
Wow. Goddamn. Well, I hate when I go into something hating somebody like Billy Corgan, and I come out almost kind of respecting him.
No, you know what?
Man.
You're allowed to hate him still, kind of, because we did watch him do his 4-hour one man show on YouTube.
That's right. I forgot about that. What did he have? Like a Casio keyboard and a coffee shop?
Yes.
What was it?
Yes, and a bunch of like performance art LED lights that he was plugging in and unplugging. Let's just say that it was pretty fucking indulgent on his behalf.
Yeah, self-indulgent.
Yoko was there. I think Yoko was in the crowd.
She was applauding and weeping. She's like, I wish I could be that good.
She was just sitting up there with her giant hairy bush.
He's the Jimi Hendrix of self-indulgence.
With no hair. He's the reverse. And no talent. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have any talent. I heard him on... He's, like, doing a tour of all his old stuff now. Have you seen this?
No.
He's, like, on tour again, but he's the only original person from the Smashing Pumpkins. I guess, in a weird way, though, he was the Smashing Pumpkins.
His voice is very distinct in what he did with it, but that guy's guitar playing and the tones that he used were so fucking weird that whoever he has playing guitar is just copying that guy. They're so crazy distorted and fuzzy. The first time I heard it, I was like, this sounds like fucking shit. But then later I was like, I've never heard any fucking guitar like this guy. And he's not like a skilled player, but the tones were really just strange and weird. So I'm talking about Smashing Pumpkins.
Right. James Iha guy? Yeah, James Iha.
Yeah.
But, you know, Billy came in, like, wrote all the songs and shit. He's kind of like the you of... you know what? I consider you... You're like John Lennon to Hyper Sloth.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thanks.
I don't want to be any of the other Beatles. So I'm Jim Morrison in Hyper Sloth.
How cool would that be? John Lennon and Jim Morrison on a side project.
I wonder what that would sound like. You know what? They didn't do enough weird shit like that when people were tripping out back then. Not enough weird collaborations.
I wonder what that was back then.
You wish there was internet back then? There was, dude. It just was owned by the government. So they can talk to the extraterrestrials.
That's probably true. You never know.
I'm going to play the show, Ender.
All right, break it out.
Here you go, folks.
Thanks for listening to Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus.
Missed it, Rufus. I missed it by 2 seconds.
That's a great show, Ender, dude.
I feel like such an amateur.
No, that's awesome.
Sorry to the people that didn't make it into the VIP. It's going to be a short VIP, though.
Yeah, I got to run. I got to piss like a beast and I'm out of beer.
I got to run, too. All right. You know what? Did you get my... Let's come up with an outline. Can I come up with an outline and we try to stick to it? Are you against that at all?
Outline for what, the show?
Yeah.
No, just an outline at all.
I'm not trying to seem pushy, I don't think. I think we could fill up... I would like to put our show on... I'd like to put it out there. I'd like to do, like, a serious bit and put it out there, and I'll pay for some advertising and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there. We just need we don't need anything, but I think a dedicated sort of routine, a predictable routine where people know,
right.
Oh, yeah,
that's
these guys
I mean.
Do this all the time. They talk about this all the time. This is going to happen
right.
Every time. Absolutely. I mean, that's only going to help.
That's basically what I mean, because then we can kind of get the search part of it a little more down and shit like that. But you know what?
Exactly.
In that show that I put on a couple weeks ago, or that when I put it together, I put like sports and all kinds of weird shit in the tagline, and I think we got more hits just because people were looking and they don't, you know what I mean? Just get random people to listen in, even for a couple seconds, might be worth, getting someone to come back and listen.
That's true. I keep Notepad open all the fucking time. In fact, I got it open right now. And every time we hit on a topic that we talk about for a while, I write it down. And then later for the archive, I try to like retitle the show and add those as tags so that people can find them. And I've noticed that every time that I've managed to do that, we have twice or three times the amount of listeners because people will
right.
They'll search marijuana legalization or winter temperatures or Kanye West or men's dress shirts, and they'll find the show and listen to it.
So next thing we need to talk about, too, you know what? I'm really – damn it, dude. If it wasn't so cold here and it didn't seem like living was such a pain in the ass, I would love to, like, sit down and go over what we need to do because, really, we need to push forward with the Bud Buddy product. I'm getting the tens, and I'm going to do some video together. If we can figure out a way to get it on the website or whatever, just come up with a 420. I don't know. I'm going to try to draw up an outline, and we can talk about it if you don't mind.
I don't mind a bit.
I want the Bud Buddy and the 420 products to start making us some fucking money, and we'll put it back into fucking Hypersloth.
I
think
agree.
We can sell this shit. I'm a fucking marketing professional. You're a fucking marketing professional. We should be able to sell fucking anything we want.
Exactly. The problem we face is that we do that shit all fucking day, and so this is like fun for us, but we got to make that fun too. You know, we got to make that
right.
whole
you know what?
Marketing
I think,
aspect fun as well.
I think I'm going to start setting deadlines for myself because that's the only way I seem to get anything fucking done is by making a deadline for it.
Me too. A deadline and a list. If I can cross out something
yeah,
on the
list,
man.
And then a list of lists, that's what sucks.
Yeah.
And sub lists.
Hey, you know, it is.
Yes, we
got to
do
it.
All right. I'll be in touch. I got to pee too, so I will check you. Hey, thanks for listening, folks. We'll catch you next Tuesday for the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Talk to you later.
Later.
Ow!